Okay, my friends, let's start learning a little bit. And he wants to leave us with a very, very important parting message. It's very important to know this. Don't waste away your life. Don't waste away your life. And the youth is so precious. This is a time when you can actually build yourself. And the years of your youth have such a tremendous impact on when you're older. He said, "Kechitzin b'yad gibar." Kechitzin b'yad gibar means like the arrows in the hands of a strong person. Came from an urim. What you do when you're younger has major effect on the future. It shoots far, far into the future. I know my Zayda, who you should have named after, he said to me, "Only things I learned when I was younger do I remember. I don't remember things I learned when I was older." And you can learn a lot when you're older, but what you learn when you're younger, that's what stays with you. It gets ingrained into you. It gets ingrained. So if a person is stuck learning toxic things, he's teaching himself bad habits when he's younger, that just becomes like ingrained in you. And the rest of your life, you're fighting against those bad habits. And if a person takes the opportunity when he's young to discipline himself, so adarava, he becomes that it's natural for him. And imagine how beautiful that would be. If a person's naturally drawn to Dvarim Shebekedusha, he's naturally drawn to things of Tahara, he's naturally drawn to things that are going to be for his benefit, instead of being drawn to things that are bad for you. And now is the time when you could do that. And of course, it's a challenge. And when we're young, we don't necessarily see it, but youth can be wasted on the young, and it's such a tragedy. A person has the opportunity now to develop himself, and he's building his entire future. So therefore, a person should be careful not to waste away his young years. And what happens is when a person, he develops a certain type of habit when he's younger. So in the rest of his life, he struggles with his Avodas Hashem. The rest of his life is a fight of Shmiras Einayim, a fight of not wanting to do the wrong thing or go to the wrong place. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create this world to make us suffer. Kodesh Baruch Hu created this world that we should be able to enjoy, to benefit. So it's just a question of doing it right. And if a person is careful when he's younger, so then he's able to reap those rewards when he's older. V'chein min yoneinu, yochalat alavoy, legatlas zois, you can come to this greatness. Shaloi tira es hashav, you won't even see something you're not supposed to see. When you're in this world, we mentioned Rav Moshe Feinstein, that his secretary wasn't seeing us. He didn't even know. He's not looking at that. Even if you didn't reach the madrega of Moshe, of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but they said on him, Mi Moshe, V'ad Moshe, said on him also. Lokom Kemoshe, Moshe Feinstein, Gadol of America. Moshe Feinstein, when I think about it, like American pride, I think of Moshe Feinstein. I don't know about you, but when I go to Bnei Brak, I was once in Bnei Brak, with the Milcha Marv, according to Moshe Feinstein, I was like, yeah, that's us. Right? An American Gadol in Bnei Brak, they're quoting America. I think that's awesome. That was like, that's pride for me. That's for me, that's my American pride. So even if you're not going to be Moshe Feinstein, that big, still, even if you don't reach that tremendous level, still a person can train himself. In biyalduscha tisragel bechasidus ba'ifanim asher hashanu lecha. If you start now, when you're young, you'll see. It'll become natural for you. Maybe you're not going to be like Rav Moshe Feinstein, but it'll be natural and it'll flow. Yiddishkeit will flow. You'll enjoy it. It'll be something that is just, it's something that you're living instead of something that you're doing. Kiposhetu v'dover yadua shechoiku. It's obvious, it's simple, and everyone knows that this is a law. This is a law of nature. Asher moichoi shel adam hoige machshavois kitanois af below yudias adam. A lot of times people think about things even without a person, without him intentionally doing that. A lot of times thoughts flutter through your mind. Limashal, yesh she'oiktsoi yatush b'fanav. Sometimes a person gets stung by a mosquito in his face. He's talking about this. To scratch it. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even realize. A lot of times people are scratching things, touching things. They don't even realize what they're doing. It's because it just happens. Not only when he's awake, even while he's dreaming, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not even thinking about this consciously. It's not this acute awareness. He feels like there's a mosquito, or he feels like getting bitten, or he hears the buzz, whatever. There's a certain training which our mind has. It's almost like it's like natural for us. I'm not coming to explain the neurology of this. Fact is fact. And that's not the only thing that a person naturally thinks of, from when he's younger. Even something that when he was a little boy, it wasn't natural for him. But he made it into his habit. He created a certain routine. Gam came mishtakin b'moichoy sheyachshav levadoy af v'lo yidios. There's also things that get kind of like rooted, ingrained in your mind. That you think about them even without being conscious of it. Limasha. B'yaldusa yachal hayu lipoil mi mishkovoy v'alayla. When he's younger, a person can fall off of his bed. When he's sleeping. I remember one time when I was a kid, I was having a dream. I was falling off the bed, and I woke up, and I was falling off the bed. I fell off the bed. Like, I woke up at the moment that, hit the ground. We can hit the ground when we're kids. We fall off our beds. Kishayagdil, when you get older. Mishapehu mitzad outside. Kishayagdil, tse mitasoy. You can roll this way, that way, but when you get to the end of the bed, shov u'mishapech el eber hasheni, he returns and goes to the other side. Lulu yoga, he doesn't know what he's doing. Afloiro, he doesn't even see it. Kishachavu b'tzevi tasoy oy b'emtza. He doesn't know if he's in the middle of the bed or he's on the end of the bed. It's just natural for him. I have a friend that you all know, Yonatan Azel. When I went to eat by his family, they had a three-story bunk bed. And instead of two, there was three stories. We lived in Rechavia, there was high ceilings, not this high, but mighty high. Three-story bunk bed, and there was no railing on the bunk bed. So I was like, that's a big drop from there. No railing. I wouldn't be comfortable sleeping up there, but no one falls off their bed. You don't fall off your bed. When was the last time you fell off your bed? How does that happen? Well, we move around while we're sleeping. Your daima sanios, people's hands move, their body moves when they're sleeping all the time. Somehow, it's like there's something going on in the back of your mind that you're never going to, you've trained yourself not to fall off the bed. Right, with his side, with his back, his whole, everything. And this idea has come into his mind. And it's like, it's already like ingrained in him, it became second nature. Now I got to turn back the other way. Even while he's dreaming, he's not thinking of that. She has to move his entire body. When he was younger, maybe he didn't do that. I don't know, but some people have an internal clock. You always have a clock. You will wake up and like know exactly what time it is. I have a Talmud. His name is Aaron Yosef Weingarten. He never sets an alarm. He can wake up, he can tell him 3 o'clock in the morning, he's up. He has an internal clock. He always knows what time it is while he's sleeping. One time we were going on a trip. One of the trees like, I don't need a clock. I'll just get up. It just happens. My body just knows now it's 5 o'clock. And his body wakes up. So we all have some form of an internal clock. Some people's clocks are a little bit more fine-tuned than others. But a person is able to, while he's sleeping, and he's not conscious, but still he's able to make things happen. Nikleta ha-machshava. The machshava has like, it's It's stuck. It's taken. It's like ingrained in the flesh of his brain. In his nerves, in his veins, it becomes part of his nature. It's like his body thinks on its own. Second nature to him. And they do things and they're working. We said before, if you turn a child's hand into a certain position for long enough, it just stays there. It will just stay there because it's growing that way. So while we're growing spiritually, if we put ourselves in a certain pattern, it becomes natural for us. That becomes natural. And one of the things we were talking about over Shabbos, some of you were here, there, we're talking about the question and answer, maybe a little bit, talking about incentives and how do incentives work. But if a person just creates a pattern for himself, and then he creates a certain a productivity, and then that becomes natural for him. And now he could do it without the incentive. Now, if a person is fighting it, or is not doing it because of the incentive, only doing it because of the incentive, maybe it won't work. But b'derech klal, we've seen that people that embrace their incentives, people that understand the beauty of incentives, people that want to do the incentives, so the incentives work because you've created a habit for yourself. It's habit forming. And when a person is constantly having good thoughts, he's having pure thoughts. Those are the thoughts that are going through his mind. And he's acting with chasidus mi'aldusha from when he's younger. And a person he ingrains and he pictures in his mind, from your heart and the veins and the nerves and your eyes. The person is starting when he's younger that way. Becomes so ingrained in you. Becomes so a part of you. Then when you get older, when your eyes even get a little bit close, even before you see it real, you see it clear, you know there's something that I'm not supposed to look at over there? Even before your eyes know, before you're conscious of the fact that there's something you're not supposed to look at, right away you turn away. Person can do that. Person can train himself. He can train his eyes. If he's misgadel, the machshava is tahirus, ubechasidus me'aldus. And then he can ingrain and be metzayer in his mind. There's a joke that they say about two people that they wanted to nevach. They wanted to go off the derech. They decided that that's it. They're gonna make a matzah. They're gonna make a meal. They're gonna go together, eat chazer treif, and they're gonna like they're pronouncing that we're no longer frum. Shem Yirachem. So they went to this treif restaurant. They're sitting down. And they're ready to they order mamish. They order ham. They're about to eat the ham. One of the guys says, "Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvar." This is Mishulina. You're eating chazer. What's the pshat? It's so ingrained. Brachas are so ingrained in us. And there's good and bad in that, obviously, because we make the bracha second nature, but it's good. It's so ingrained. It's so in Baruch Hashem. Baruch, how you doing, Baruch Hashem? These things work, by the way. The person's saying, well, how you doing, Baruch Hashem? People say, I didn't ask you if you're religious. I asked you how you're feeling. Well, there's a point in saying Baruch Hashem. There's a point in doing that. It's constantly reminding ourselves, I have a moon, I have a moon, I have a moon. You're ingraining your moon in yourself. Yimir Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, Baruch Hashem. That's what we're doing. We're constantly ingraining ourselves in moon. And you can do the same thing with Kedusha. A person, if he starts at a young age with Machshavas Tahiras and Chasidus when he's younger, so then a person can make that becomes natural for him. That's something that he feels comfortable with. So, and if he sees something that he's not supposed to see, maher to say vevenu yemina smoila oy arzo or look down. V'ata loy teda. At kol si loy seim loy targish. V'zasa lochalotira. And everything that is going on around them, they won't even feel it, and they won't even see what's usher. Aval zeu rak im loy tisoyve b'shvakim uberachoy bois stam. It's only if you're not walking around, stam. You go to the shuk, you go to the street, to the rechoyv, you go to these places, stam. Kanche chutz v'yoshvei kronos, people that sit in corners, and they just sit around and they hawk. Then it's never going to work. It'll never work. But Avram Shor said an amazing story about his uncle. About his uncle. Avram Shor's father was the famed Rosh Hashiva of Gedalia Shor. I believe it was the second time he spoke in yeshiva, he said this story. First time was in Tidhar, this was in Shmuel HaNavi, downstairs. He said the following. His uncle used to sell milk. The Shor family, they're brilliant people. They were tremendous tzaddikim. But, talking about the times when there was depression and everyone made a parnasa. So he probably could have been a Rosh Hashiva, but he sold milk. That was his job. He was he was a milkman. Back in the day, he used to bring milk to people's houses. That's the way they got milk. He'd bring them the milk canisters made out of glass. And then afterwards, you come pick it up, like we do with the laundry. And you give them back the fresh one. You take the old one, and you bring it. And that's what he did. He used to sell milk. Anyway, he had a driver who would drive the milk to the different places. Now, you have to pay the driver. You're talking about his profit margins were very, very thin. So now he has to be a driver. So now his profit margins are shrinking even more. And he was barely making any parnasa. So someone asked his uncle, why don't you just drive it yourself? He said, I don't have a license. He said, okay, get a license and drive the milk. He said, I don't want to get a license. Why not? His uncle, Shores are brilliant. He said, the side of driving when you drive is you have to always be aware of your surroundings. You always have to be looking around. There's the car on the right, the car on the left, the car in front of me, the car behind me. I always got to be looking around all the time. I don't want to be looking around all the time. I have to look around. It's not good for Shmir Sinai. Driving is not good for Shmir Sinai. It's a murder to the hair. Now, maybe it's a higher level than we're up to. But we are up to. We don't have to see every single billboard. We don't have to sit in town in order to chill with our friends. Sometimes we would say, town, it's like a matziv. Why don't you just chill outside of Shiva? It's not a matziv. I tell you why it's not a matziv. Because here there's a virus, and here there's not a virus. Why can't you make a matziv over here? Why does it have to be poop? I don't know. That's where it is. That's where the guys are. That's Bologna. That's where the waitresses are. That's where the girls are. That's where the guys are. That's what it is. So if a person is really prepared to condition himself, and he's prepared to make that sacrifice for the future. He's prepared to do that. So then he stays away from these places. And then he feels naturally comfortable with Ruchnius. Feels naturally, sometimes Bacham will say to me, there's nothing to do in Yerushalayim on Matzah Shabbos. Nothing to do, okay. Tell me what you do in Chutz Laaretz. What do you do there that we don't have over here? I don't know. It boils down to Averus. Okay, so it's nothing to do. But what you mean to say is you like to do Averus and you don't feel like you can do Averus over here. I got it. You got a problem. But start learning how to like to do things that are not Averus. There's a lot of things to do in Yerushalayim. A lot of stuff to do in Pennsylvania. Someone said to me recently, he had a problem because we limited the phones. He's like, there's nothing to do over here. Well, there's a baseball field, there's a basketball court, there's volleyball, there's tennis, there's lots of things that you can go running, you go to the park. I said, I don't know what you can't do over here that you think you could do somewhere else. Basically, it boils down to you want to do Averus, and there's no Averus. Okay, so that's, are we going to get out of this, or are we just going to allow ourselves to succumb to our title? But if you start, when a person starts at this age, and he works on conditioning himself, you can start liking things. I mean, there's beautiful opportunities here. I mean, aside for the ruchnis that we have, but the opportunities to be able to bond with friends, to spend time together, like to be able to, like there's so much, this is a huge campus, it's a beautiful place, it's great. And we have healthy, normal outlets without anything that's toxic. It's amazing. The person is prepared to work on himself, to do that, to be that, and it becomes natural. Maybe it's not right away. Maybe right away people are suffering from some sort of separation anxiety from their from whatever it is. But the person works on himself and is like, you know, I don't need that. I don't need that at all. And we become happier, better people, more wholesome people. And it just makes us better when we're older. There's a bachur who's here present, who's one of these mamish, like a chelik of my neshama. And originally he wouldn't come to yeshiva. When we first opened, because it's like, how could he be without his phone? Shem gave him a matana. He lost his phone. He couldn't find it. He was looking for his phone. He couldn't find it. After a while, I was like, you know what? I don't need my phone, because he didn't have his phone. But okay, I could do that. It came. So we realize that we don't need these types of things. We don't need them. And then a person grows up in a way that he makes it what's good natural. Let's keep going. He said, this is only if you're not going out to the street, you're not going to the shuk, you're not going to these places. If the person needs something, he goes there. Okay, sometimes you need to go someplace and you go. But if you stop going for no reason, then forget it. Forget it. Person doesn't take away from himself his the oil, the feeling of the responsibility of a ben Torah. Never leaves him. Person has to realize that he has to be a ben Torah in the base medrash, out of the base medrash, everywhere he goes. Right? There's the pasuk says, Yisachar chamor garen roi veitz ben amish besayim. Yisachar is the one who learns Torah. He's like a chamor. What is it about a chamor? A chamor sleeps with its packages on it. Even we have to sleep like a ben Torah. There's a way a ben Torah sleeps. The way a ben Torah dresses when he's in the dorm room. There's a way a ben Torah walks in the street. And I believe that's part of the reason why, you know, I learned the yeshiva to say, before I got there, I had no musig why the yeshiva wanted everyone to walk in the street in a hacking jacket. Everyone had to walk in the street in a hacking jacket. And I actually went into the yeshiva. I'm like, what's the deal with this? You know, that's not the minig in Teaneck, New Jersey. They're walking the street in a hacking jacket. So I'm trying to understand. And it took me a while to understand it. But the point is, remind yourself that you are a ben Torah wherever you go. On the basketball court, you're a ben Torah. And when I spoke to the Rosh Shiva about playing basketball, he told me, we were talking about it, he said, you can play basketball, play in your white shirt and your black pants instead of your, you know, all of your gear. Because and I think what he was trying to do is play, realize that you're a ben Torah when you get on the basketball court. You all of a sudden, people become behemoths on the basketball court. Their language changes, their attitude, they start giving attitude to people. They start like, they shtuching people and everything. I had a friend who used to play basketball and he used to stick his tongue out, because I don't know if you're familiar, but there was a very famous basketball player who used to shoot with his tongue out, wagging his tongue like behemoth. So my friend was like, you know, be like Mike, you know what I mean? Like, be like Mike. So he started like playing basketball with his tongue out. So one time he was under the basket, he got hit on the head and bit right through his tongue. It was bad, bad situation. Anyway, he needed a lot of stitches and everything like that. That was the end of his, like, you know, trying to be like Mike. But it was rough. But we get on the court and all of a sudden we become different people. A Bachman said to me, not from our yeshiva, but a Bachman said to me, he said, when I get on the court, I leave Hashem in the base medrash. Hashem stays there. You know, Korach, that's like, this is my time. He went off the derech, Reb Acha, became fried. He did. I mean, Baruch Hashem, he's from again, but he went off the derech totally. Hashem stays in the base. Medrash, out here, this is my time. I can do whatever I want. I was once at a football game, and the captain of the team, Shmuel, you don't remember this line? He was trying to get the Oilam like psyched up because they're, you know, he was I think D-line. And he was like, guys, come on, we gotta play hard, you could be animals, Let's be animals. What happened? Like all of a sudden we could be animals, that's what happens, you get on the football field, all of a sudden you act like an animal? That's what he's saying. We're animals out there. I don't know. When I was a kid, we played ball to have a good time. So you won, you lost, you know, you play, you don't become an animal. You don't start screaming and cursing and fighting. And a person has to realize that you have to take a Kodesh Baruch Hu with you everywhere. Everywhere you go. And there are times that there's taka that way. I remember one time, once the yeshiva was into like doing kiruv. It was a thing in the yeshiva with Reb Berkowitz. I was very involved with Reb Berkowitz. And we brought the Bachrim to play a game of basketball against a bunch of Freya kids. I don't know if you know Yoni Mishan, who Yoni Mishan is. Yoni Mishan is a football legend in the tackle football team. His son was there and a bunch of other totally fry kids. And we played a basketball game. Before the game, I spoke to the Bachrim and everything. And it was great. The boys were nice and they were having a good time together and they were playing. Everything was awesome. And the fry kids were like, wow, these boys are so nice. They're so friendly. Anyway. Yoni Mishan's son, that Matzah Shabbos, was playing in the football league against the same kids. He came over to me and said, these kids are playing so dirty. He says, these kids say, I don't know what you teach them in yeshiva. It's like all of a sudden, like what happened? All of a sudden, you know, because when they're coming with like the mindset of, okay, you have to do a mitzvah. I'm going to play, I have to present what it means to be yeshiva bachar. And once I'm coming to compete, I'm coming to win, we could be animals. We're animals. They turn into animals, the same people. But if a person keeps HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him everywhere, keeps HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him always, so then, Adrabah. Lo shetachshav she'osu l'cha le'estakel, ki machshavas kegon eila eina ma'ilo yislocha harbi. It's not enough for a person to feel like it's usher for me to do this. It doesn't, there's a limit to how much we can avoid temptation. How much a person can constantly shut himself down. I know I shouldn't look at that. I know I shouldn't be looking at that. And as Stamaza, your mind is such a dirty place if you're thinking all these thoughts. Should I not look? I'm not supposed to see that. What's that? How did that get into your head, Bechlau? Guess hold on. Let's try to get past the filth. Men machshavas eila. Rak shestam tizkor she'ato yehudi. Loi efker. You're a yid. Not just like afgeos. Chas v'shalom. Umikul shchein. Kishetizraga lachshav eze dover shal kedusha. Ve'al kuponim dover she'nichsar. The person thinks of Davashab Kedusha when he's walking through the street. You can teach yourself how to do that. You feel you're above this. I'm above looking at that. It's beneath me. I'm better than that. It's not just it's usher and I shouldn't be looking at that. I'm not interested in what you're selling. They're selling filth. They're selling something which makes you feel like you're in the gutter. You feel dirty. I don't want that. I'm not looking for that. I feel clean. I feel pure. I feel uplifted. The person walking the streets, if he would think of Darvish Shabbat Kedusha, or sing a niggin, you know, a real beautiful Halig niggin. Sing a niggin. You're walking in the streets and you're like above this garbage. You know, there's people, there's empty people, and all they have is their tithes. They have nothing else. Baruch Hashem, we have a life of meaning. We don't need that. We don't need what they're selling. The person who can start at a young age to make that this is my identity, this is my core, this is real. I'm not looking for that. V'im v'stapek v'lo itavin es amitas divareinu eil. If you're not sure, you have a question. You don't know if this is really true. Sha'al is the Canaan v'yagidahu. Ask people that are older than you. Ask people that have been through it in their lives. V'chachomim chachmei Torah. Ask people that learn Torah. V'yoymu lecha. They'll tell you. Avalom alecha lishoyim. Naseh kefi she'amarnu lecha v'tira ba'atzmucha. Try it yourself. You'll see. Try it yourself. And you'll see. Shedivareinu eisanim mechazokim him. I remember clear as day, it wasn't that long ago, we went to Morocco on a Europe trip. Now, one of the things I loved about Morocco, and I hope that we're going to get back there if everything comes down on the whole world, Morocco is a very religious country, and there's no billboards, no women on billboards. All the women are wearing skirts down to their ankles. All the men are wearing skirts down to their ankles. Everyone wears jalabiyas. Your wrists are covered. Everything is covered. And you don't see any preachers in Morocco. And we went after Morocco. We went to that little island, the Rock of Gibraltar. And one of the Bachram said to me, there's like so much preachers here. Like, I forgot. Like, he's bothered because he spent just a couple of days in Morocco and became more sensitive. Became sensitive to it. If we would just try it. See what happens. Okay, I know it's going to be a challenge. Try not to listen to some of the music. Try to like avoid it. And then you hear it, like, it just doesn't sit right with me. I don't identify with that. It's like, it's not right. Try not to read. Try not to see. Try not to look. And Baruch Hashem, we're trying to create that environment for you. And when you do, and you step out, you're like, okay, this is not for me. I'm above this. I don't feel comfortable with this. And you ask people that are older. They say this is something that you can acquire. A person can do that. It just takes work when you're young. Now is the time to do it. And if you care about becoming a genuine, good yid, the time to do it is now. Because Hashem, we will continue, hopefully. Have more next time.